be back here and see what the Lord's doing, and was with the leaders yesterday, and you've got a great team here. One of the neat things about having friendships that last decades is that when we get together, there's just not enough time to talk and rehearse. And rehearse the good things that God's done. And, you know, we don't live in the past, but we celebrate the past. And I encourage you that, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to share one generation to the next, the good things that God has done. And the past generations will never know unless we share with them what God has done. And like I said, we don't live in the past, but we build on the past. And so that's been one of the joys that I've had this weekend with Pastor Rick and Marilee and Angela and Janelle, is that we've just talked and talked, and God's been good. And, you know, I just would like to leave one scripture with you. Yes, my husband passed away 11 months ago, and, you know, those times are not easy. But God has shown himself faithful to me every single day. And Psalm 63, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And I can say that there's been some sleepless nights, but every night I know he's been with me. And when I wake up in those sleepless nights, it's not fear that comes. It's a song that's playing in my mind. And I just want you to know that God walks us through every season of our life. Things come unexpectedly, but the first thing God told me, which I knew, but he said to me, this was not a surprise to me. And when he said that to me, it was a rhema word to me, and it helped me go forward. And you just have to remember in your life, when things come, it's not a surprise to God. So when we turn to him, he helps us. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Roxy. We have been privileged for the last while to have Bobby and Chitra as part of the church, and today Bobby's going to come and share the Word of God with us. Let's welcome him as he comes today.
I would like to thank God for giving me this opportunity to stand in front of you. And I would like to thank Pastor Rick. Having faith in me to allow me to stand here. I come from a very strong Methodist family back in Sri Lanka. From my childhood, as with everybody else, I also used to read the Bible. But I had a problem. I used to have revelations from my childhood that were very contrary or something very controversial to the normal church. Therefore, often I kept my mouth shut, because I didn't want to go against the leaders, the elders, the pastors. But as I grew up, this also grew up with me. There's a time came, I said, God, I want to know, what is this? Is it something wrong? Or is it from you? Or what is this? Today I'm going to speak a certain title. But before that, can we have Acts chapter 16, verse 14, please, on the screen. Yes, we have. Can we read this, please, everybody? One of those was a woman named Lydia, a leader in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. I read this verse many times. As I say, I use my Bible. But I don't know how many of you people understood in this one. here it says, the Lord opened her heart. So if you go before that, what was happening before that then? What happened before? What happened before God opened her heart? Heart? The heart was closed. And in Acts 16:14, is it Pastor Rick? Is it Bobby? Is it Pastor Ray? Anybody speaking? Or who is speaking there? Who is speaking there? Paul. And anybody who went to Bible college, theological college, seminar, it doesn't matter where you went, they will teach you, if not for Paul, there is no Christianity. Amen? Because the man who wrote so much, and here is a man speaking, and you don't get that word in the English version, but in the Tamil and the original Greek and the Hebrew version, there's a word that says, she used to go as usual, as often. So here is a person, like us, how we come on Sundays, sitting here, but her heart was closed. How many of us come often? We know this church, we know this pastor, we know the team, we know everyone. We come and go, but our heart is closed. This is the reason why many of us, though the word says it is like a two-edged sword, but it does nothing, because we come with a closed heart and we go with a closed heart. So may I kindly, I come from an Asian background, we are very rich in our traditions. One of the very, very traditional thing is the relationship between teacher and the student. As they say, the master and the disciple is very strong. So I would like to ask one of my teachers, Ray, can you come please? And can you pray that today let God open the heart? It's no point coming to church and going how you came. Many people do that. I have preached to people of a congregation up to 12,000 people. I don't know how many people's hearts were opened in that place. So before going for the message, let us get something clear. That let our hearts be opened, as how is there the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Let's close our eyes.
Church, would you like to stand? Am I switched on?
Okay, can you hear me? Could you put your hand on your heart, please? Father God, we give you thanks right now, mighty Lord Jesus, for your word. And as our hands are upon our hearts, Lord Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will open, that you will enable us to open up our hearts so that, Father God, we will be receptive to what our spiritual ears hear. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as our hearts are open, that it will be a beautiful soil to receive the word, to receive that seed, to be planted deep within, and that from hearing your word, from receiving your word, will bring forth fruit, good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Hang on, please. Hang on, wait here. I'm going to demonstrate you something here. Please, you can sit down, please. This is the Bible I carry from the time I started attending the church. I'm sure, I don't know how many of you people read here. Holy Bible? Okay, good. The Bible is here? Okay. Now, I want my teacher, my friend, my colleague. Can you read this Bible, Psalm 23? Can you read, please?
Just Psalm
read.
23.
Yeah, read.
I wish I
could. I don't read from the memory. I want you to read from the Bible.
I'm trying. Hold on. It makes no difference that this is off, because this is in a different language.
Thank you.
So I can't read it, unfortunately.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you. Here we have a Bible that is translated from Hebrew and Greek. Every book is here. All 66 is here. The Old Testament is there. The New Testament is here. It's a Bible. But fortunately, unfortunately, my loving brother cannot read that. is not his fault, but the Bible is that Tamil is my mother tongue, and he never studied Tamil. So let's understand something here. Because he couldn't understand, it's a language problem. But many of us who read English are in a worse situation, because that is the only language many of us in Britain know. And this is the only language many of us read from the time we could read A for Apple and B for Ball story, from the time that we read, but we do not understand Bible. Let's make this thing very, 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 very clear. How many of you know an incident that happened in a village called Bethany and a man called Lazarus? How many of you know that? What happened? What happened? What happened to Lazarus? He died. But they immediately sent the WhatsApp message to Jesus. Yes? And Jesus got the next Bakerloo line and came? What happened to Jesus? My friend, speak to me. How many days? On which day did he come? On the fourth day. How many of you people, last night we were, I went to Birmingham and I was driving down an M6. I was in the fast lane driving almost 70. And I asked my wife to speak to a friend of mine saying, how is he? And so she was speaking to on the phone, on my phone. And he thought, I'm calling. And he said, brother. And suddenly my wife's voice changed. And he said, what happened? Oh, his wife died. And I was driving on the fast lane. I got a shock in my life. I immediately came back to Celera. I didn't want to stop because it was heavy traffic. And I just didn't want to know that. Life is short. Dear friends, I want you to understand, whatever the time that you have, make sure that you understand Bible. That is the most important thing. As you say, your hearts are open now. So Jesus, he came on the fourth day. Am I right? How many of you know why he came on the fourth day? Sorry? To whom? How many of you actually had a problem with this fourth day business? How many of you? Nobody? I had a problem with my childhood. From my childhood I had a problem. But you know, I couldn't go and ask anybody because they will shout at me. There is a reason why Jesus came on the fourth day. Is Jesus from Sri Lanka? Is Jesus from Ghana? Where is he from? Is he a Jew? Yes. So unless you understand the Jewish background, you will not understand this question. You will never understand this. You go and ask any Jewish people. I was listening to a message in Brooklyn, New York. From a rabbi. They believe when a Jewish man or woman, when somebody dies, the soul comes out of the body, and for 3 days that is hangs around the body. This is the Jewish mindset. This is the Jewish thought. So the first 3 days, and the soul wants to get into the body, but unfortunately the body started shrinking, it's a shop, and then on the third day, the soul departs. Imagine in the Jewish setup, Jesus has resurrected Lazarus on the second day. Tell me what the Jews would have said. It's not a big deal. Come on, Jesus. We know about this. We have heard enough. Our rabbis taught us. This is the third day the soul goes. And you have come on the second day. What is this? Okay, the soul is there, gone. Okay, thank you. This is the reason why Jesus came. Categorically, Bible says he came. Mary said it in the fourth day. Amen. So it's very important that we understand what the Bible says. So we are going to deal a passage today. The title of the message today is Understanding God. How do you understand God? I come from a country where there are various religions. We travel to many countries, there are various religions. People try to understand God through various means. They climb the mountains, spend a lot of money, burn this, sacrifice. So many things they do. But it's for as Christians, it's very easy to do something. As everybody says, you know the verse, you don't have to tell the Bible. What John 1:1 says? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God. So the best way to understand God is to understand Bible. If you do not understand Bible, my friend, you can stand upside down. You can do a 21-day fast. You can do Israel 10 times. You can do what you like, but nothing will happen. I can write it and give it to you. It's very sad today. We talk about other people who are not Christians. They are God, but I feel I preach to Christians who don't understand God. So that is enough for this thing. Let's go to our message today. Let's go to 2 Kings. We know this part, but I would like to go through this. What God has revealed to me today. So when you go home, you don't have to go into YouTube. You don't have to open your commentary book. You don't have to go into any things, because you will not find this message anywhere. This message is given to our church by God in His mercy. This is revealed. So I tell you very clearly, I want you to understand. So we are going to see from 2 Kings. We all know the story about Elijah and Elisha. We all know this incident. We have read this time and again and again and again and again. Okay, let's come to the first verse of this. Shall we read that? When? Go on, read. Amen. Okay. Let's dwell in the first verse, please, for a moment. This is not a very happy situation. I know the word is not, the English word is not, is there. He's been, Elijah is going to go up in whirlwind and fire and that and this and all. But actually, talking in our normal English, what is going to happen to Elijah? He's going to die. He's going to finish. His worldly life, earthly life is finished. Am I right? He's no more. Elijah, no more. So let's dwell on the first verse. It's very important that you all know the story of this one. So I don't want to go into this Bible. I would like to see, can I have that map, please? The map which I gave. Okay. Here we can see, those who can see, I beg your pardon, this is I transmitted from my mobile phone. So I don't know whether you can see this one. Can you see Gilgal here? Can you see? I particularly choose this map. This map is called, it's not a physical map, but this is called a topographical map. The physical map does show you the mountains and the rivers and everything, but this shows the elevations and more details that we can see. In many cases, we read the Bible not understanding. How many people been to Israel? How many? Before going to Israel, I was sitting and reading, when Jesus goes from A to B, I don't know where is A, where is B. Jesus went from C to D. I don't know where is it. He went. Only when we went to Israel many times, we travel in luxury coaches. Every food available, every soft drink available, every fruit available. It's a beautiful experience. The fantastic. Oh, the casa. In Jesus' time, did not have anything, and Jesus, except one incident, he doesn't even say only one incident, he says he traveled by donkey. How do we know that the pain, the problem, the suffering Jesus had in those days, in suffering, in traveling in it? So let us focus, it's very important that we focus at this moment in Gilgal. As I said today, we are trying to understand God in our life. I want you to understand, we are not here to read and understand some physical facts. I want you to, it's not, unfortunately, many Christians understand, but in the Jewish context, every Bible verse in their Torah has a spiritual dimension. Say spiritual dimension. It is not just a story. There is a spiritual dimension. Unless you understand the spiritual dimension for that, this will be just a story like Harry Potter. There is nothing between. There is nothing about that. So here we have Elijah standing in Gilgal. The Bible says there are other Gilgals. I'm not interested in that, but there's only one Gilgal at the moment, and that's where I am going. Okay, now, shall we read that verse? One, please. We can't put one map here and the Bible verse of the other map. No, technology doesn't allow. Oh, it's all right. Don't bother. I'm not a technical person. Okay. Here, let's read. When Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Verse 3, please. Elijah said to Elisha, to Bethel. Okay, here, what is going to happen? Let's use a basis, because we are normal people. I did not study in Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard or Yale. I just went to a normal university where we spoke normal English. So we have to keep on thinking now, Elijah is going to die. That's what it is. Whether he's been taken to heaven or not, but his life is finished. Am I right? He's going to die. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. That's why I'm very particular about English words. Here the word says stay. But the actual word that is used there is tarry. The word tarry is completely different from the word stay. Unfortunately, the modern Pentecostal Christians, we do not use the word. How many people are used to these tarry meetings? You wait upon. You don't just stay eating Big Macs or something like that. But here we have a tarry. The word that is used is tarry here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. Dear friends, can I have the map, please? Why the particular reason why I choose this map? I want you to understand this. First they were in Gilgal. Where is Gilgal? Here. Gilgal. And now they are in Bethel. It is not an easy thing, man. Bible doesn't say that he went by National Express or Virgin Train. Bible doesn't even say how he went. But I want you to have some spiritual imagination to understand at this old age for him to travel from Gilgal to Bethel. Why is he going to Bethel, church? To die. Forget, I don't want you to use some fantastic spirituals, some bum words, but be clean. His time has come. He is finished. He is going to Bethel now. Let's get something very clear. How many of you know the meaning of the word Bethel? No. Yes. Beth. The Hebrew, the word Beth is house. And actually, it's not Bethel. It's not one word. And then a dash and E-L, capital E-L. L is as in El Elyon, as in El Shaddai. It's God. So the house of God. Let's get something right. Speak to me, church. Now here is a man dying. Am I right? He's going to be with God. Is he in the right place to die? He's in the house of God. Where else? Not in Sainsbury's. He is in the right place and he has gone to Bethel. This is, if you die also, you go to God. But he is physically, he is in Bethel, house of God, to finish up. That's what the Bible says. Am I right? It's very important that we understand what is happening. And can we have the next Bible, please? Bible verse. Sorry, I have to use water. I'm not thirsty, but I have a throat problem. Read. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha, and do you know all the things? Lord is going to take your master away. Yes, I know, brother. Do not speak to it. The next verse, please. And Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. This is what I want to dwell here for some time in this verse. Elijah, for today's message, let us delete Elisha for a moment. Let's put him into somewhere else. We are not interested in, I will come back to him later, but we have to be very clear what is the message today. Elijah left Gilgal and went to Bethel. It's a fantastic name. This is where he's going to meet God. His time has come. Everything. I want you to tell very clearly now, so that I know that you understand my message. Did God speak to Elijah, go to Bethel? Did God speak? How many people say no? If you do not understand this, you will not understand this message. Church, I want you to say, or you can put up your hand, did God speak to Elijah saying, go to Bethel? Did God say that? I see. Everybody says, I believe that. God spoke to Elijah, go to Bethel. Am I right? Now, my loving brothers and sisters, I want you to understand me. Forgive me for asking so many questions. Tell me something. God spoke to Elijah and asked him to go to Bethel? Yes? But did anything happen in Bethel? Sorry. I was brought up in a Christian tradition, but when God says you something, something will happen. God says to whom? To Moses, stretch forth thy hand and do this thing. And what happened in the Red Sea? It opened. So many things happened. When God says something happens, am I right? God said, go to Bethel, that we are 100% clear. But did anything happen? Anything happen in Bethel? Absolutely nothing. I do not know about you, brothers and sisters. I was in Bethel. My wife and I, we were the, since 1963 war, this place, Bethel, was closed down. We were the first few people to be allowed to walk to the actual Bethel. I'm not talking about that Bethel now. I'm not talking about the Bethel in Israel. I'm talking. How many of you, God said, go to this place, you come. With a great expectation. God says, go to this church. Go to this man of God. Go somewhere. Something. What do you go there for? With a expectation. Everybody says expectation. Expectation is the one of the main things in our life. We come today with an expectation that God does something to me. Something to Bobby. Change my mind. Thank you. I know God healed me, but my brother healed me. That's why I couldn't even stand before that. We come with an expectation. But God spoke clearly to Elijah, go to Bethel, but nothing happened in Bethel. Now let us remove. I want you to speak to my, not as well, many of you know, probably some of you know my name only as Bobby. But I want you to remove Elijah from this story. Please, Elijah from this story. I want you to put your name, yourself, into this situation. You have gone to Bethel. Some great prophet from Nigeria, Ghana, somewhere, came and said, this is it. Go to New Life Bible Church. Today is your Sunday. You have come. You are sitting here. With what? With a expectation. Nothing happens. I want you to speak to my own brothers and sisters. What will be your attitude after that? Tell me frankly. I don't want you to say some spiritual, some Baba. Huh? Sorry? Exactly. Bobby was in Bethel. Sorry that man. Bobby was in Bethel. Because throughout my life, I received many prophecies. Word of God, many things happened. They are not fake. They are proper men of God. They said, go to Bethel. I'm not talking about this Bethel, but I'm talking about A. I went. Nothing happened. I don't know how many of you are here. Come with a great expectation. We are not talking about some small prophet, unheard of, probably just got a business card, that's all, probably he hasn't got even a website. We are talking about Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. A man who did miracles. I mean, he's a great, 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 great prophet. And God spoke to this man and nothing happened. Okay, now let's go back. If you are in this situation, please speak to me very clearly. What you could have done? What is your attitude at this time? Don't become very spiritual. Just speak to me. We are in Harrowfield. What would you have done? I tell you what Bobby would have done. Huh? Exactly. Exactly. Did I buy the right ticket to Bethel? Or did I hear Bethel? Or is it Bethsaida? Okay, here. Verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." Oh-ho. Elijah and Elisha were together. Now let's remove Elijah from the equipment and put Bobby here. And Bobby is with Elisha. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you know, what Bobby would have told Elisha? Huh? Tell me. Talk to me. We're all friends. We're all from the same church. What Bobby would have told Elisha? What Bobby? You don't know Bobby. Okay. I tell you. Elisha. I don't know, my phone battery is not working. Probably I didn't get the right signal. But I heard it as Beth. But could be El Shira, anything. But don't worry. Don't worry. Did Elijah speak a word of negativity to Elisha? Did he explain? Did Elisha, these two words are very confusing. Did Elijah ever spoke to Elisha saying, "Elisha, there's a problem. Can you please find where is the nearest synagogue and get the mobile number of the rabbi, because I want to make sure what is happening here, because God spoke to me to come." Did he say that? Or did he say, "Oh, find the visiting somewhere, a man of God, probably I'm not a big prophet, find whether any other big prophet in this thing." Did anything? How many of us Christians here, when the expectation does come, immediately our mouth start? Soon after my graduation, my postgraduate work, I was very lucky to land a job with the United Nations. I was working for the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations Development Program. I was a senior research officer. When I joined the United Nations, I said, "That's it. Set everything." As a young man, a sky blue Mercedes with a UN flag flying, a chauffeur driving, you name it, I had it. But I said, "Whoa." To this day, I believe the United Nations creates more problems than it solves. You know why? Because of mouth. I have been to meetings of the English-speaking experts do not understand the French-speaking experts. The French-speaking people don't understand some other language. Oh, the troubles I had is because of tongue. It's very important, imperative, that we understand the situation of Elijah. Nothing, God spoke to him very clearly. Go to Bethel. Nothing happened in Bethel. But Elijah, being a man of God, did not talk a word with Elisha. Say amen. Amen. We ought to have this attitude. We come to church, we accept some miracles, miracle, miracle, every time something happens. But when nothing happens, we start talking. We get into this negativity. We get into these things. "Oh, why? Oh, is something wrong with the church? Something wrong with the pastor? Why? I'm coming for 5 years. I haven't seen anything. He's coming to somebody else. Why? But Elijah did not say a word. Nothing. And what did he say? "Let's go to Jericho." Now, church, I want you to understand. I want you to tell me something. Now, did God tell Elijah to go to Jericho? Yes or no? Yes. You are sure? Yes. Absolutely. Jericho. Good. Okay. Now, shall we go to the next verse, please? So they went to Jericho. Read. The company of the prophet in Jericho went up to Elisha, and you know the story. It's the same verse. Verse 6, please. Now, let's hang on here. Let us hang on here for a moment. Again, Bethel was a disappointment. Use the word disappointment. Nothing else. What else happened? Now, Bible does not say whether he fasted or prayed or I don't know what happened. Now, Elijah is telling Elisha, let's go to Jericho. Church, did anything happen in Jericho? I'm sorry? Nothing happened. Recently, for last few months, I would say, loving pastor was preaching about Jericho and all the glory and the Joshua thing and all the thing. How many interested in that messages? Here is a man who came to Jericho. Did anything happen in Jericho? No? So this is the second time is you are telling. I was in jury service recently. Very interesting. You are the people telling that God spoke to Elijah, go to Bethel, nothing happened. Totally disappointed. Again, he kept his mouth shut. And then God said, go to Jericho. Oh, it can't be true. It can't be. Okay, first time I understand. Okay, when our children there, you have this nice thing. And when the child goes, there's something. It's okay, the first time, don't worry. Okay, not next time, not the second time. Okay, the first time at Bethel, okay. But the second time, anything happened in Jericho? Now, I told you what I could have done. Now, you are in Jericho. Now, for the second time, nothing happened. What you could have done? Tell me. What you could have? Suddenly, they all become saints of the... They don't... That's why I'm talking to normal human beings, but they have become some saints. Okay, speak to me. What you could have done? Nothing happened in this thing. I want you to... Can I have the map, please? Yes. I want you to understand this. Very important. I don't know how many of you people. I'm talking about Bobby. Bobby was in Gilgal. Bobby in his old age went to Bethel. What is in between this? It's a mountain. There's a mountain here. It is not easy for him to go here from Gilgal to Bethel. An old man. Climbing, going down. I don't know how many times he slipped and fell down and broke something. We do not know. But it was a struggle. How many of you from Gilgal to Bethel understanding and obeying the word of God went from Gilgal to Bethel? How many people? How many people went? I'm not talking about the map. I'm talking about real life situation. How many people went to Bethel? Nothing happened. Now, I want you to understand. Bethel, nothing happened. And then God tell him what? Now go to? Again, what's the story? What's the story? Again, here Jericho. From here he go to Bethel. From Bethel he come to Jericho. The same mountains, the same valleys, the same river, the same court. How many, I don't know how many of your people were there. Bobby was there. But the only difference between Bobby and Elijah, Bobby opened the mouth. Without this topographical map, you will not understand the story. That is why I particularly, not a physical map, I put you. Now, they have come to Jericho now. Nothing happened. Can I have the Bible verse, please? Okay. So Elijah said to him, stay here. Okay, can the church read that please? Stay here. Now, there's a reason why, as I told, I put that map. Now, God spoke, go to Bethel, nothing happened. God spoke, now climb all the thing and go back to Jericho. Nothing happened. Worse situation now. Now, God is telling to go to Jordan. There are two things I would like to clarify this. One is Jordan, there's a river, and Jordan is a country. But we don't know where, but it just says Jordan. Okay, can we have that map, please? Here we are from Gilgal to Bethel, Bethel to Jericho. Jericho, this is the river Jordan, and here is the Jordan country as such, on the right or left, whatever side you are on. Here now Elijah is telling Elisha, let us go to Jordan. Now, can I have the Bible verse, please? Sorry for the trouble. And what does it say? No, the previous verse, please. Verse 6. Okay. I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Amen. Two of them walked on. It's no coincidence they put the word war. Had it been Bobby there, Bobby would have left Elijah and would have gone to the nearest McDonald's. I'm speaking very frankly. I'm not talking any some big pious, some saintly something theology. Nothing happened. This man, he's a great man. I trust you. I have a lot of respect for you. Nothing happened in Bethel. Okay, one time it's no problem. Second time, he asked me to go to Jericho. Okay, any big man can make a mistake. No problem. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, Bobby has an answer. Elijah, please wait here. I know we are tired. I will just go to the nearest McDonald's and find some food. Just don't worry. There's no misunderstanding. Please wait. Because I know where am I going now. Amen? But the Bible says, so the two of them walked on. It is very nice to walk together when everything is successful. Everything is successful. I bought my first house, my three-bedroom semi-detached house, my first house for £33,000. Long time ago. And within 1 year, without even a lick of paint, I sold it for £95,000. That's the first time more than £60,000 in my pocket. Bobby was flying. Bobby was £60,000? You must be laughing. Bobby, forget it. Make an appointment to come and see me. I was running a business. I was running a coffee shop behind Buckingham Palace in Green Park. The most successful out of 62 shops. Year after year, I won the first prize. I don't know how many of you have heard of Benji's. Benji's. Year after year, my shop. I thank God for giving me a wonderful wife who made that successful story. And money was, every time my clothes, my trousers and my shirts goes to dry cleaners, the dry cleaner gives me always with the envelope hanging. There's always £200, £300 in the district that goes to the cleaners. So, because I didn't have time to count my money, so much wealth. One night, we lost the business. One night. Because something happened, the landlord didn't messed up everything, one lap. A man who was receiving from dry cleaners in my pocket £200-300 every week, I was counting coins. Because not much bank balance, because all been investments and all these things, when you are in business, you don't keep bank balance. It's money rotates. When I was successful, it's a different story, my friends. It's a different story how the pastors treated me. It's a different story, everybody, how they treated me and my wife. But when I lost everything, it's a different completely. I thank God for giving me that opportunity of failure. I learned human beings. I learned human beings. So, here is a situation of failure. But the Bible says, they walked together. They walked. Today, I'm asking you today, how many of you people today are prepared to walk with Pastor, with our Pastor Rick? work when everything is going ha 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 and everything is big things and websites and all the CCTVs and all the things. When things go wrong, people leave. That I could have done that with Elijah at the time, but he did not. So what do we understand here today? What do we understand from this situation now? To understanding God. Oh, I didn't know that I can read from there. I was reading here. I'm sorry. Because I'm not used to these things. This bring me like some kind of a Neil Armstrong in the... anyway, oh, I can. Thank you. So two of them walked on. So, now, can I have the map, please? Let's finish up this. Gilgal, Bethel, nothing happened. Jericho, nothing happened. Now in Jordan. Everybody, this side, that side. I want you to look at this map. How far is Jordan from Gilgal? Sorry? Next door. From Gilgal to Jordan is just here. This is Gilgal and this is Jordan. Why God? We don't have the right to ask questions. We don't have this thing. Oh Lord, I'm only here. Why couldn't you tell me just pack your these things and go? Why you are in this age? You asked me to go to Bethel, climb the mountain, go swim, break my leg, everything, and then to Jericho, Bethel, you name it. I went there, spent all my money, and now you're asking me to come to Jordan? Probably he didn't have a clue. Or probably he didn't have Google Maps those days. God. How many of you, Bobby, was in this journey? Bobby was in this journey. I'm telling you, there is a spiritual dimension to this whole story. Many times things do not happen according to your expectations and according to your desires. I tell you, I was there. But they came to Jordan. When they came to, let's say both Elijah and Elisha, they were standing on this side of Jordan. Did anything happen? Jordan, now Elisha, forget about Elijah. Elisha is telling, now this is it. Did anything happen on this side of Jordan? No. Nothing happened in this side of Jordan. Why? Shall we read? Can we have the next verse, please? I think it's verse 8, I think verse 8. Stop the Jordan. Okay. Now, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Amen? So, you have even come to the last bit of Jordan, but nothing happens. Only when you cross over. Please, please, please. I'm not a professional photographer. I'm a funny little photographer. For a long time, I wanted to go to South Africa to Kruger National Park. And we went there, and they took us to Port Elizabeth, to Pretoria, to you name it, everywhere. Forget it. I'm not interested in it. I'm only focused on Kruger National Park. My camera ready, everything is ready, gear, everything is ready. And the guide said, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, wake up. Oh my God, 4 o'clock, wake up. And they said, okay, 5 o'clock, we are entering Kruger National Park. Oh, Bobby was on cloud 9. Okay, so I got up early morning and I woke up Chitra, my wife. She was like, what time is it? I didn't tell you what time. It's 3 o'clock. Actually, I woke up. I didn't want to miss anything. I went there. Now we got into the thing. We were the first people, I got the front seat with my camera. Everything is ready. And he gave a briefing of how to behave in this thing. And we went into the Kruger National Park with the big thing and all. We entered Kruger National Park in South Africa at 4 o'clock in the morning. What Bobby was expecting, here with the same with Bobby's expectation. The moment Bobby goes into this, there's going to be one big welcome party with elephants here and lions running here and that and this and everything, because we are in Kruger. This is the biggest national park in the world. 1 hour we were driving. You think I could? You think I could see a rabbit? You come to my house in Wembley. There is more life, wildlife in my back garden. Because our expectation. This is what I thought. Kruger, South Africa. Oh, go. Bobby, you bought everything. You gave. You are ready. Your camera expert. You go there, enter the gate, and lions are there. Sorry? I asked my South African, this fellow, that chap. I asked, what happened? Bobby, sit down. Sit down. Bobby has no patience, unfortunately. I must see everything then and there. Dear friends. By the end of the day, we saw, I'm not an ambassador of South Africa. Everybody must go to South Africa. Fantastic country. Anyway, I saw what I wanted to see, but I had to wait for some time. Shall we all rise now, please? Shall we all rise to your feet? I want Pastor to come, please. Pastor, come. I do not know what kind I'm talking about in our spiritual life. I do not know where you are in at the moment. I don't know what are your expectations. What are the things that are fulfilled? Are you backsliding? Are you disappointed? You think, what is Christianity all about? I'm coming and nothing seems to be happening. Where are you now? I do not know. I was in a worse situation than you. But I thank God. I came specially to this church. Especially to this church. I thank God. Things are started happening. I want you to close your eyes now. Pastor is going to pray now. I want you, whatever expectation, I want you to think of your time period. I want you to think of the Bethel you were. I want you to think nothing happened, disappointed, then came all the way to Jericho. With a great expectation that God didn't do something in Bethel, but something will happen in Jericho. But nothing happened, and you are again disappointed. And then the third time, after all these disappointments, after all the spending the money, after spending everything, now you are going to Jordan. Even in the first hour on this side of the Jordan, nothing happened. But God did a great miracle in Jordan. And when they crossed over, we know he was taken in. So please, do not blame time. Because God has no time. He is eternal. We are the people who keep on looking. Is it 9:30? Is it the church? Is it 10:30? 11:30? Well, what time the church is finishing? What time that is? What time this is? What time? Because we have this dimension of time. And we expect and we believe that something should happen within this time frame. But if that does not come in that happen in the time frame, we are disappointed. Therefore, dear beloved friends, today is your day. How many of you believe that? Today is your day. God is going to open that for you. That Jordan is going to move. We are going to cross over. And when Pastor prays for you all, it doesn't matter what happened in Bethel. It doesn't matter what happened in Jericho. It doesn't matter what happened on this side of Jordan. But today you have crossed and things are going to happen. Let's pray.
Stretch forth your hands right now. Father, we come today and we leave behind our disappointment. And we set our eyes afresh on you. Because you said in your eternal word, and you cannot lie, those that hope in me shall not be disappointed.
Amen.
Lord, we say yesterday is gone.
Yes.
Today is a new day in you. Our eyes are upon you. And from this day, Lord, we will continue to place our eyes on you.
Yes.
We will not walk in disappointment.
Yes.
But we will live in the constancy of faith and expectation. Mm. And we shall receive.
Amen.
That Jordan experience. We shall cross over.
Yes.
Into that which you Hallelujah. Have already determined.
Yes.
Is our portion.
Yes.
We thank you for that
thank
today.
You.
In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said.
Amen. Amen.